Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Got a lot of quarterback news during the show. Yeah. We have Tua out, fractured ribs. So Miami's going to be rolling with Jacoby Brissett into Las Vegas. Carson Wentz not practicing for Indianapolis. So the Colts are going to Tennessee to face a team that's filling themselves. They might have to go with Jacob Eason. Not ideal for them. Justin Fields, he's going to make his first start for the Chicago Bears. And as we know, tomorrow, right down the street, I'm pointing to it right now at NRG, the debut of Davis Mills.
Yeah, just right now, Matt Nagy said that Justin Fields would be the starter. But he also said, when Andy Dalton is healthy, he's our starter. I don't know about that. We'll have to see how Justin Fields ends up playing. I don't know about Andy Dalton still being their starter.
I don't know about Justin Fields being as ready as it seems like people want him to be.
Yeah.
I've never seen such like a rally behind a quarterback getting started. I don't know what's going on with that. It just seems kind of strange. It went from Dan Orlovsky having questions to being kind of bullied, I think, kind of, into being his biggest fan. We saw him kind of struggle. Seven series on Sunday, seven first downs. I like Justin Fields, but I do expect, and I think this is something that is relevant tomorrow, all rookies more times than not struggle early on. I think Justin Herbert might be the example of a guy who just went right in and it was like, damn, what is going on with this guy? But all rookies are going to struggle somewhat. So I think there could be some struggles with Fields, but I think the struggles with Davis Mills are going to be even more significant than these guys because he was drafted as a developmental guy, and it almost seems like he's just being thrown out there way sooner. It doesn't almost seem. It is him being thrown out there way sooner than even the Texans wanted him to be. And I just don't know what the perfect game plan looks like because the other problem that I have, and this was even a problem with Tyrod, who had the best QBR in the NFL through 2 weeks. They want to run the ball. They can't. They're 31st in almost every advanced stat that you look at. Aaron Reese put this out there. They've tried to run the ball. They can't. They don't run the ball very well. Mark Ingram, I think this is the most symbolic statistic of how the Texans have run the ball this season. 44 yards on Sunday, 45 yards after contact.
Yeah.
Think about that. 45 yards after contact, 44 yards total.
A lot of those lookout blocks.
So are they going to try to run the ball? Like, is there going to be a situation where they're just going to try to run the ball? Like, eventually you can't do it. And this Carolina defense, this is a defense that is number one in the league right now in every category. They're number one in DVOA. Are they just going to try to force the run? And are you going to put Davis Mills in these passing situations on third down where the front seven of Carolina can basically just tuck their ears back and come right at Davis Mills? This is a hard situation, not just for Davis Mills, but this is a very, very hard situation for Pep Hamilton, for Tim Kelly, and I don't really know what you do to overcome
all these obstacles that are here. Here's the thing. They're going to try to run. I mean, that's pretty much the game plan that can work and help Davis Mills. Now, the success with which they have running the ball is the whole key to the thing. You mentioned it. I think they rank like 14th or 15th in yards per game rushing, but some of the advanced stats would say, you know, as you just talked about, yards after contact and stuff, would say that they're having a hard time. But that there's not a big choice. I mean, what are your options? Let Davis Mills sling it around the yard? That's not going to happen. They're going to have to run the ball, get into some play-action situations, some short down and distances on third down. That's it. That's the only way they can have a chance to win on Thursday.
The biggest disappointment to me is that Nico Collins isn't out there with Davis Mills because they did make some plays in camp. And while Mills was struggling, there were times where he would go to Nico Collins, his fellow rookie, and they would make some plays. You're not going to have Nico Collins. You're not going to have Danny Amendola. Anthony Miller is going to be a guy that's going to make his debut for the Texans tomorrow. How is he used?
Yeah.
He's going to be that slot guy. So we'll get our first look at Anthony Miller. But on the defensive side of things, maybe the Texans' best player this year behind Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod was playing phenomenal. Justin Reed, who has two interceptions and a forced fumble, he was held out of practice today. I talked about this on Sunday, and I actually put this on sportsradio610.com in my post-game thoughts, which we post minutes after every game on sportsradio610.com. I could see Justin Reed being held out tomorrow. You think he's going to give it a go? I think they're going to err on the side of caution, which I don't think is the worst thing. Obviously, it gives you less of a chance to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see a situation where Lonnie Johnson has to be back there. And Lonnie Johnson, it's basically you can evaluate Lonnie Johnson as a starting safety and get a clear indication of where he's at this point instead of him just being the reserve guy behind Justin Reed and Eric Murray.
I think this is a wait-and-see situation with Justin Reed. Enough of a veteran that he doesn't necessarily need the Thursday practices like other guys do, the Thursday game practices as other guys do. And it is a Thursday game. I mean, your body doesn't really come back to you, most NFL players will tell you, until like Tuesday at the earliest. You know, all the soreness and if you have any little nagging type injuries, you really don't start feeling any better until like Tuesday or maybe even Wednesday. So they might just be sitting him out to like just start feeling better, man. I think it's a wait and see. I wouldn't be surprised if he does not play, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he does.
I think we were 30 minutes of football away from this atmosphere being a little closer to what we've been used to. And I'm talking about the game day atmosphere. We're going to be out there tomorrow, 4 o'clock, judging tailgates. What lot are we going to? Yellow tomorrow?
Yellow.
Tomorrow's a yellow day. So we are going yellow tomorrow.
Some yellow?
Some yellow. We're going straight yellow tomorrow. DJ Yellow Boy back in the day.
There you go.
But we're going to be out there. Last game, before the game, it was a little bit flat. I think the regular tailgaters, they were bringing it. But as far as the atmosphere, it was flat. I think if Tyrod Taylor doesn't get hurt, I think we're talking about a 2-0 Texans team, and we're talking about a healthy amount of excitement. I'm intrigued to see what Davis Mills has. For better or worse, I'm intrigued by it. But I'm one of those nerds that, obviously, it's part of our job to follow every Texans game, so I'm going to be intrigued and find something to be excited about regardless. On a Thursday night, which is a tough night around here, especially with traffic, what do you anticipate the environment to be like? And I know Jerome Solomon kind of wrote a column today or yesterday talking about the atmosphere and what Cal McNair can do to generate a little bit more buzz.
How to regain the fans' trust is what he wrote. I don't think it's that, good for him, but I don't think it's that complicated a thing. We've talked about what they can do and get everybody back. It's not.
So you think Jerome wasted some typing there?
Yes. No, I'm sure it's a great column. Jerome's great, but we know how you get the confidence back. We know how you get the confidence back.
Hiking your leg all over that column.
I am not.
Sorry,
Jerome. You're just like, what did Ken Carmen say? Put me in a chute.
Don't work yourself into a chute.
No, you're just trying to work me into a chute like you did with Ken Carmen back in the day. That's not true. I'm sure it was great, but it's a very simple answer. Is firing Jack Easterby. The confidence is definitely waning. I just looked up two websites as we're having this discussion. StubHub, tickets start at $18.
How much?
$18 for tomorrow night's game.
So not even a full Jackson.
That's a reflection. Now, we want you to buy tickets, but I'm saying that's a reflection of the confidence that and I guess anger, whatever you want to call it, that fans have with the organization. Ticketmaster, $16. You can get NFL tickets in this city for $16 right now, the day before a game. That is, there is no greater reflection of how your fan base feels about you than that. There is none. That's actual tickets. You know, TV ratings you can count and whatever, but people who just don't even want to drive to your stadium for $16. That's a reflection of the confidence this city has.
And you think it's just as simple as fire Jack Easterby?
Fire Jack Easterby, everything gets better. It is that simple. In terms of confidence, I'm not saying the team is going to be all of a sudden a championship team. I'm just talking about the buzz, the confidence, the optimism, because there's a lot to be optimistic about with this team. There's a lot that we don't know yet because the team is in such transition. I mentioned yesterday they haven't even really started a rebuild in earnest. You know, they've started to lay the foundation with all these players on one-year contracts, et cetera, to start, but they haven't really started a transition to rebuilding yet. But you have David Culley and the that culture.
I feel like the fans have taken a liking to David Culley.
Absolutely.
The thing that I am pleasantly surprised about is, first of all, his accountability. He can't have any more brain farts like he did in the punt situation. I don't know if that means that the assistants step up and help him out. He can't do stupid stuff like that. We'll hear a CBS Sports Minute by Andrew Bogish, by the way, calling out David Culley in a sec. But it does seem like the fans have done a pretty good job of separating David Culley from lingerers that had something to do with why the Texans are in the situation they're in. I'm talking about Cal, and I'm talking about Jack Easterby. I do like that Caserio and Culley, which was what we've been trying to do, they've kind of been separated as guys who are almost victims who inherited this mess.
Well, that's the other one I was going to say. You got David Culley. There are certain things that you can be excited about with this team. You got Nick Caserio. You don't have a lot of rookies to be excited about because we really haven't seen them, but you have potential there with Nico Collins when he gets healthy and some of these other guys. You know, Roy Lopez started out of necessity, but we'll see what he does. Some of these other Brevin Jordans and those types of guys.
He's active.
And he is active.
If.
It's simple. I don't understand how they don't understand.
Well, they don't care.
Well, maybe that's it. That's probably it.
Yeah, they don't care about that. Jack Easterby.
I'm scrolling right now. Landry, it's sad. Like 16, and you can get any number of tickets.
Give me a good seat.
A good
Don't
seat.
Just get me in the building. Well, give me in the twos. Give me in the twos.
Well, there's no twos. There's a three and the ones.
Like, give me in the ones.
In the ones. I'll get you right on the goal line in the ones.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Right there. There is.
Give me in there. I got a hot date. I need to impress my hot date. Give me in the ones.
$110.
Okay.
Section 100 on the goal line.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
How much does that cost in Aggieland?
For the Alabama game or for any game?
For any game. Let's just say a decent game.
Probably about the same.
100?
Yeah, 100, 150.
Deal.
Dang, that's cheap.
Yeah.
713-572-4610 to get in. Byron, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Byron.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello, guys. Hi. I'm a season ticket holder. I've got four tickets. I had six. I reduced to four. I'm not going to the game tomorrow night. Can't sell the tickets. Can't give them away. It's really a tough thing. Second thing is, I'm just wondering, we've been in the league for almost 20 years.
20 years.
If you look at a five-year period, you look and we've with our team. What does that say about us?
Well, look, I think fans need to, you know, this is my city, you know, and you're going to support your team. You can complain. You can maybe not show up, as I often say, voting with your wallet.
Tailgate.
But tailgating, obviously. Yellow. That's in the yellow do. Lot tomorrow. Yellow. We'll be there.
DJ Yellow Boy. It go down.
No, this is not a reflection of us. This is a reflection of, it's not us, it's you. It's not me, it's you. It truly is. You can get there's probably a couple hundred tickets you can get for $16.
The Easterby thing, though, is insulting to a lot of people because it's almost just like a F you.
Yeah, absolutely it is. No, this is an easy fix. They don't want to do it, but this is an exceptionally easy fix.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Sometimes you win when you really lose. Sometimes you lose when you really win. We'll get into that. And David Culley, a lot of people around here like what they hear from David Culley, but national media types, not so much. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it?
Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
One of the frenemies of the loopholes, Andrew Bogish, did his CBS Sports Minute earlier today, and David Culley was the topic. I feel like Culley's won a lot of people over around here. Here's what Andrew Bogish in his CBS Sports Minute had to say about the head coach of the Houston Texans heading into their Thursday night football game tomorrow that you'll hear right here on Sports Radio 610.
This is Andrew Bogish with an Odyssey Sports Minute. If you haven't heard by now, Texans head coach David Culley made one of the most illogical decisions in recent memory during Sunday's loss to the Browns. On a 3rd and 15, the Texans completed a pass for 13 yards as Cleveland was called for offsides. So Houston could accept the play and have 4th and 2 or accept the penalty and have 3rd and 10. Culley took the 4th down option, but instead of going for it, he punted. After the game, Culley said the decision was about field position. On Monday, he said he messed up and made the wrong choice. Many appreciated the honesty, but then Culley admitted he punted out of frustration with his offense. It's going to be a long season in Houston. Culley better prepare himself. I'm Andrew Bogish.
All right, your thoughts.
My thoughts are...
You were powdering your nose, by the way, when he was doing that.
When he originally did it.
Yeah, you're powdering your nose.
You like that, don't you?
I'm just letting the people know that that might just be tuning in. He was powdering his nose. 713-572-4610.
It was
what is powdering my nose?
It was shiny. I need to put some powder on it.
Okay.
You know, we are on video here.
There you go.
I understand the point. I don't agree with it because I just don't. But he's basically saying, look, you're the head coach. You are, you know, the general. You have to be in total control, handle the frustrations, and just make the right call in the moment. That those mistakes are what get guys fired. You know, that ultimately, if you do enough of them, that's what gets coaches fired. But the reason I don't believe in it is I think it was just a rookie mistake. You know, he's a rookie. He's a rookie head coach.
That's not a rookie mistake, John.
I think it absolutely is. He got caught up in the moment. He said it. That's I believe.
A rookie mistake is like us seeing Davis Mills throw an interception. That is incompetence.
No, it was.
And I like David Culley, and I like that he owned up to it. But that is something that you can be double-fisting beers at your party and not do. That's not some rookie mistake. That's embarrassing.
I understand, and it was embarrassing. But what I'm saying, as a head coach, the buck stops with you. One thing David Culley does not do, and we haven't seen any evidence of it outside of Deshaun Watson, is lie. He's lied about Deshaun Watson. They all have, a lot. But, you know, he's pretty straightforward and forthcoming when he talks to us, and that's what we find endearing. So I think he, you know, and he said, I got frustrated, made that call. I wouldn't have done it if I had to do it again. I believe him, and I think that's a rookie mistake because rookies
so
would.
So you think his emotions getting the best of him.
Okay. As a rookie head coach, he didn't have that in control, acted too abruptly, made a horrible decision. It's a rookie mistake.
Okay. So I can get down with that.
That's what I'm
saying. But as far as the actual mistake, that is.
Oh,
that
he
is
knew what he was doing, but he got swept up in the moment.
And I praised him for being accountable to it.
Yeah.
But if that is a trend, he does not need to be a head coach.
Oh, if that is a trend, absolutely.
Because that is absolutely. The actual decision was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that he's kind of benefiting because A, we look at him as a victim of circumstances, and B, this isn't like the Texans of a couple years ago where we're talking about going good to great, where mistakes like that cost you, you know, division titles or they cost you potentially a first round bye. I also think he's playing with that. But if you're just talking the emotions, I can vibe with that. If his emotions got the best of him.
Which is what a rookie head coach might do.
But we can't see situations like that happen.
Not consistently, not regularly. Had Bill O'Brien done that exact same thing.
We would have done a whole show on it. We would have done a whole show on it. I'll admit it. I would have done a whole show on the stupidity of that. And I would actually defend Bill in certain times. Like when the it's not my job after New England, I would defend him because it's not his job to be the review guy. But there were a lot of times, like if Bill O'Brien had done something like that, we would have absolutely killed him. That was a boneheaded mistake. Culley owned up to it, but it cannot be a trend. If it has to do with the emotions, okay, but that cannot be a trend.
Had he done that last year, which he did a bunch of boneheaded things, we would have said, how is this guy still employed? You know, like you said, maybe a whole show on it. I think what Bogus said, there's validity to his point. NFL head coaches should not do that ever. But a rookie head coach, I think he gets a pass a little bit because he did what a rookie head coach might do.
I'll give it to him, but you cannot do that again. You cannot be punting basically on third down.
Right.
Especially when you have the second best third down offense, especially when Tyrod Taylor has the best QBR in the league.
Right.
And especially when you have talent to where the gap between them and most of their opponents is going to allow a very small margin of error. You cannot make mistakes like that if you are David Culley. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Landry Locker, John Lopez. Going to talk to Stan for Route in about 15 minutes. Talk to Stan about the deceptive speed that is going to be on display tomorrow. And Titus Howard probably should have just been honest about it, but I can understand why he might have been a little bit scared to be that to be honest on that. I wonder if the David Culley situation, I wonder if that's something where mistakes like that lead to, whether it's Tim Kelly, whether it's Pep Hamilton, whether it's Lovie Smith, whether it's whoever, maybe it leads to those guys having a bigger hand in helping out with these decisions and maybe
well, I think
being,
Casario
being
does already,
to it.
To be honest, just my opinion. Nobody's told me anything. I think Casario, he's in the coach's booth. He's obviously watching very closely the game and players and injuries and such, but he wears a headset. He has been. I think Nick Casario has an influence already. Keep in mind, that was kind of a bang-bang play, too, when David Culley had to make that call in a rush. It was kind of bang-bang, so maybe the communication fell down. And I'm not sitting here saying Nick Casario tells David Culley everything to do, but I think that might be a decision that he might, you know, weigh in.
I should probably know this, and if someone in the building is listening, just shoot me a text. Who is the because I know who it could be. Who is the young guy that's always by David Culley on the sidelines? Like real clean cut dude, tall, dark hair.
Yeah.
Who is that guy?
I don't know.
Which guy is that? I don't think it's a meanie. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that guy is, but he seems like he's really engaged in the game. It seems like that's who David Culley talks to the most.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's go to French. French, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Man, I'm enjoying your guys' show, man, but I agree with you when you all said jackass Easterby has to go. If he leaves tomorrow, I get my season ticket back. Number two, David Culley is just a token, man. He just going to be the New England South gonna be the coach next year, the general manager. This guy just a stopgap for the New England, for the general manager to take over. All of them want to be Bill O'Brien, man, and that's not Bill O'Brien. They are the New England Patriots coach there.
Bill
all
Belichick.
Of them want to be like him. Belichick. All of them. So he just a stopgap for him to take over as the head coach and general manager. It's going to be that next year, brother. And I'm not renewing my season ticket until they make some drastic change around here, brother.
There we
that's
go.
All I asked.
Pretty good stuff right there. That's
right there. Man, yeah. I like that accent right there.
I do too.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Look, you can say that's harsh. That is 75% of the conversations that I have out there in the tailgate.
Yep.
Exactly what he just said. You can say that's harsh, but that is a representation of how a lot of fans do feel.
It's not hard.
Even the most passionate ones, even the ones who aren't getting rid of their season tickets.
Yeah.
They are saying exactly what my man French said back there. Call in anytime, French. Manning, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yes, I agree with y'all 100% that this team cannot turn around until they get rid of Easterby. But I'm bothered by everybody jumping on Culley for making the kind of mistake that O'Brien, who was supposed to be, you know, this polished and ready to go coach, seemed to make every other week.
You're right.
Stupid decision.
You're right, and we're being easy on Culley. I just think you can't make mistakes like that, regardless. But you are right. Bill O'Brien was a football idiot. That's
yeah.
what I call it. He was a football idiot. You're absolutely right. We're being easy on Culley.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Andrew Bogish, the Odyssey Sports Minute. That said it, but I'm with you. I'm just saying you can't be doing that too often. That type of thing.
No. If he does it one more time, it's going to be an eyebrow raiser. But you know, that was one of those second game ever. You know, regular season as a head coach, bang bang play in the moment. You know, obviously he said he was frustrated with the offense. I believe him, and he screwed up. You know, okay, that cannot be a trend. But I think it's a little more acceptable in that scenario.
Exactly. 713-572-4610. Is Stanford Routes going to interview himself in a second? Because sometimes he's been known to do that. So,
and guess what?
Yeah, David Culley, he had his first game as a head coach.
And guess what?
Sometimes you struggle when you're a head coach.
And guess what?
And you know what? Sometimes those struggles, sometimes you learn from them and you get better.
And guess what?
You get to play next Sunday.
And guess what?
And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
And guess what?
Stanford Route next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Lyon.
All right, so the guy by Casario is Frank Ross. It is the special teams coach, Frank Ross, who we heard from yesterday. He's got a nice little classy presence on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
All-time leading receiver at John Carroll, which is also where Nick Casario went. Started out with the Patriots pro player development. Actually went to the Indianapolis Colts.
He's paid his dues.
Worked with Frank Reich a little bit. Frank Ross seems kind of jacked up, though. Seems like he might have a caffeine problem. I don't want to diagnose another man just based on hearing him. I feel like this is a guy, though, Figgy, back in your Starbucks days, that might be ordering a few extra shots.
Yeah, Dan Campbell.
What's the limit? Yeah,
the black
limit
eye.
On shots? Is there a limit on
the
shots?
The black eye, the Dan Campbell.
That's a scary thing. There's no limit on shots you could get.
Wait. So you're telling me that in a world where you get cut off at a bar,
mm-hmm.
where If you go to a legal dispensary in another state, there's a limit on how much you can buy.
Yep. How do you know that?
With how caffeine can beat your body down caffeine, I got to get my gallbladder out and I have to, I literally can't drink coffee sodas anymore because I was drinking so much caffeine.
Yeah.
You're telling me I could go order 10 extra shots in my coffee.
Look it up. It's somebody that ordered, I want to say like 26.
Come on, bro.
It was a lot. And they actually almost died.
How much does that cost?
I can't remember the cost, but it's a lot.
So there's no limit. Frank Ross.
We live
like
in a world where you're allowed to explode your own heart, basically. Yeah.
You could get 30 shots of espresso if you want to.
Frank Ross sounds like a guy who is at least getting five espresso shots.
He's got the black eye like Dan Campbell?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Here is Frank Ross talking yesterday about his special teams units.
If there's one thing about me, maybe it's because I don't have that good of a memory. Maybe I'm not going to go win Jeopardy anytime soon, but got to be in the moment, and all I care about is the next play. But at the end of the day, this is National Football League. We're about to play on Thursday night. The Carolina Panthers are sore, Houston Texans, whatever the injuries are coming out of the past Sunday's game. We want to go out, and the goal is to pin those guys inside of the 10 or 15-yard line and create a long field for the defense. It's a big key to success when you're playing a team that can sustain drives. Going to try and get that done here moving forward. As you know, we're talking on every situation. That's what special teams games is. We're preparing for situations, and 90% of the time it either converts or it doesn't. You know, and then we just go back to our down and we're rolling again. So yeah, we'll talk through every situation that comes up in any game. Everybody has multiple hats in an NFL game with 46 to 48, whatever it is, going to the game on game day. So you know, I can't go back there and do it.
I'd like to hear a conversation between Frank Ross and Jimbo Fisher. You could not keep up.
Jimbo is so annoying.
He goes annoying
when he talks.
He's
fast. I like Jimbo, but
he's
man,
fast.
Sometimes, oh no, we're gonna play some ball. You know, look to the right, look to the left. You know, the quarterback. You know, he doesn't look good, but you know what? You know, he's a small kid. We're gonna get settled down. We're gonna go back in halftime. We're gonna figure this out. We're gonna go play some hockey football.
he's had the Dan Campbell. What is it? Two ventis of the pike with two shots in each, and he calls it the black eye. Lord.
We got to run the ball better. You know, offensive line not blocking. We got to block. If you want to win in the SEC, you got to block. This is one of the best ball leagues in the league. We got to go out there and do it. You know, Kellen's got to go out there. He's got to figure it out. When we give him time to throw, he's got to execute. We got to go out there. We got to do it. We play that Aggie football. Crowd's out here. We're out here playing good. Our defense is playing good. We're tackling good. We're playing special teams. We just got to score when we get in the red zone because we can't win with 3 points. 3 points ain't going to win in the SEC. Go Aggies.
Kick them. And then Frank Ross would be like, slow down. Even Frank Ross can't keep up.
What's up on that Aggie Arkansas game this week?
Yeah, man. That's going to be – talk about – that's big boy football. That's classic. Yeah, it's a cliche, but that's a big-time running team in Arkansas.
Yeah. I mean, if Texas would have started Thompson, I don't think they lose to Arkansas.
And a big-time, you know, running team – with the Aggies and two good lines. Obviously biased, but I've seen the Aggies enough to think I think they're good. I think they're better.
I think they're good to
They're better than Arkansas. It's going to be a good game, but I think they're better.
You think they are good to go. Titus Howard thinks that Davis Mills is faster than he looks. This was and we know what he means. He's white. Like, he's white, so he looks slow. Like, let's just be honest. I don't know why we can't keep it real when we say stuff like this. Like, Jordy Nelson had deceptive speed for his entire 10-year career. Let's just be honest. Here's Titus Howard talking about Davis Mills and the athleticism or lack thereof of the quarterback that you'll see make his first career start tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 610.
I mean, with Deshaun and Tyrod being mobile quarterbacks, you know, it just they can extend plays a lot. A lot of people might not know it, but Davis is more athletic than is he seems to be.
Now, what does that mean? Because the follow-up
was asked.
We know
what that means.
Well, I know what it means, but is Titus going to keep it real? Because he was asked, what exactly does that mean? And here's what Titus Howard had to say.
I just think because he probably didn't show – nobody has, like, seen him do it, like, in a game. But I've seen him at practice roll out of the pocket, deliver a strike down the field to a guy. And I was like, wow, that's an impressive throw for a rookie.
Right. That was a dishonest answer if I've ever heard it. Good gosh, just say it. It's okay. Christian McCaffrey. Every time he gets the ball, I feel like he's slow.
I don't. I think he's just fast.
Watch the guy for like 8 years.
I'm past that with Christian McCaffrey.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm still there.
Mm-hmm. He's just a fast dude.
A guy who is fast and he doesn't look slow. Stanford Rout joins the show right now for his weekly visit. Stanford Rout, how you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good, fellas. Happy to be back on with you. Landry, hey, stop that. What? If that man wants to give y'all that answer, you need to go ahead and allow it, because if he gives you an answer that is authentic and it's something that is juicy.
Not me. I'm not going to judge him for that.
Yes, yeah, Landry, you're going to make it a talking point. Nope. It's going to be a part. Yes, nope. It is. Nope. Landry, you know that.
Nope.
Come on now, Landry. Nope. Don't lie. Keep it nope. real. Nope. Keep it real, Landry.
I'm keeping it real. I'm telling you, nope. I want the honesty. I think Christian McCaffrey still looks slow to me.
I don't know.
Every time he touches the ball, he still looks slow to me. Until he runs.
Fellas, the way that you can tell if somebody is moving fast is not how quick their legs are moving or churning. You look and see and judge everything else behind them.
Exactly.
Is something closing the gap? Are they breaking away? Are they creating a wider gap? That's how you judge if somebody's moving fast or not. Not, oh my God, Stan, he's got really, really quick legs.
Let me ask you this. Come on. How many, and I think I can name one. So
I think I could name one.
You played football and you also ran track. See what I did there? I didn't do the J-O. You ran track. See what I did there? How many white guys did you lose to in track?
Oh, wow. In track and field.
You lost to Jeremy Warner, right?
Actually, I didn't lose to Jeremy Warner. We were in two different races. Jeremy's actually a pretty good friend of mine. Nice try. I see what you're trying to do right there.
I just know he's an Olympian, so there's no shame.
If I would have raced him in the 400, I definitely would have lost to him. But thank God we ran two different events, so I actually never lost to him per se. But I definitely would have if I'd have ran the quarter. I mean, my God.
So how many white guys did you lose to in track?
Let me see, my sophomore year in high school, my junior year and my senior year, Trey Griffin out of Lockhart, Texas, was the state champion in the 100-meter dash 2 years in a row. He was the Texas relays champion our junior and senior year. He won state in the 100 our senior year, really, really fast. Man, I'm going to call him that. I don't like to get on these labels you guys like to say, but yes, he was Caucasian, very fast. And
does
college,
that one hurt a little bit more, though? Does that hurt a little bit more to lose to a white guy?
Landry? No, it does not, because still lose at the end of the
Okay, I'm just asking. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, Stan. Those nice fresh shoes that you always like to take pictures of.
It may or may not add a little insult to injury. It may or may not. I'm gonna say it like that.
I could see Mr. Rout getting on you a little bit after losing that one. That's all I'm saying.
But no, seriously, my old man told me, you know, long time ago, he said, son, he said, athletic people come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all different shades. They come in all different colors, ethnicities. So I mean, obviously we all know the stereotype, white men can't jump, white men can't run, things like that. But no, there are some very talented, Caucasian people out there on this planet when it comes to athletics or when it comes to certain events that are better known for African Americans or minorities actually having the upper hand. But yes, I've been beat by a white man before. I've been beat on a touchdown by a white man before, Jordy Nelson.
Faster than he looks.
Yeah, I would say that. But I mean, he's faster than he looks, but he by no means looks slow. I'll probably go ahead and describe it like that.
I agree.
Stanford Brown joining us here on In the Loop Sports Radio 16. Go ahead, Stan.
No, Jordy Nelson, he gets down the field very well, very well.
You've been in a situation where you've had some, for lack of a better term, below average quarterbacks make starts for your team in your
one
career.
Of my favorite lines. They'll throw it right to you.
How much do you put more pressure on yourself as a guy on the defensive side of the ball if you know that, you know, maybe this quarterback isn't ready or he's not what you're used to? Because Davis Mills is going to make his first start tomorrow, developmental guy. Do you put more pressure on yourself as a defensive guy, even though you're on the other side of the ball, when someone's making their first start, and maybe it's not necessarily the ideal situation for them?
I think you're not being realistic as a defender if you don't put more pressure on yourself, just because you know that he's coming in, you know that he's young, you know that he's going to struggle, you know he's going to make certain mistakes, not because he's not right for the job, but just because he's young and he's making his first start. So I think that as a defender, you are being a disservice. You're doing a disservice to your team. You're being unrealistic to yourself if you are not going to automatically assume, okay, we need to carry the load, special teams, defense, D-line, linebackers, back end, secondary guys, because you have to go ahead and understand the logistics. You got to understand the reality and the nuances of the game. You don't want to put all that on that kid's shoulders. I don't care if he's Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And look at what's happening to him in Jacksonville. You have to go ahead and assume that we have to do better, we have to do more, and we have to go ahead and try to make his load lighter for the time being, once until he gets up to speed.
Now, as a defender, as a cornerback, what are you doing to Davis Mills Thursday night? What is the secondary doing? We all talk about, you know, they're confusing him, they're giving him looks that he's never seen. What exactly will the Carolina Panthers, who are playing really good defense, by the way, what are they going to do to him?
I would probably imagine that they're going to try to confuse him. They're going to try to go ahead and mix up some coverages. They're also try to put some pressure on him, make the ball come out pretty quick, make him throw into tight windows. I think you're going to see a variation of everything that I just named. It's more like a cornucopia, I'll put it like that, just mm-hmm. because you don't want to give him the same look. That's number one. Number two, you want to confuse him. Number three, you also want to go ahead, speed his internal clock up, make him get the ball out fast. You want to make him be as erratic, keep him as off balance as you possibly can, because he's now branching over from college, Stanford University, by the way, so I think he's going to do a pretty good job. And now he's going to the NFL. You want to keep him off balance. You want to have him out there, is what Sam Darnold said a couple years ago versus the Patriots, where he's seen ghosts. You definitely want him to have that type of an experience going against that Carolina defense tomorrow night. But nonetheless, even though he's a young guy, he's going to make some good throws out there. He's going to make some plays. And the thing is that you want to make sure that he has to work extremely hard for that really good throw that he makes in the first quarter and may not do it again to the third quarter. You want to make sure that those are few and far in between if you're a defender.
What's Thursday night like for a player? Obviously, I think I just have the utmost respect for NFL players even being able to get ready from Sunday.
You should have the utmost respect for players in general, Landry, not for Thursday night. Watch your mouth.
I said from Sunday to Sunday, I respect the preparation that goes into – look at you trigger happy over there. Offsides on Stanford Brown. I'm saying I have the utmost respect for just getting your body ready to do what you do from Sunday to Sunday. What's it like having to do that from Sunday to Thursday, you big jerk?
Well, thankfully, because I played a skill position, we don't bang that much. So
oh,
it really
you
wasn't
didn't
that...
bang that much.
Oh,
some
man,
do.
That's shots fired.
Now who's trigger happy? But the skill guys, it's a little bit easier for them to go ahead and bounce back Sunday to Thursday, excluding the running back position, because, you know, those guys take a pounding. But I didn't really have to worry about that much. Now, the guys in the trenches, the D tackles, the offensive line, the linebackers, for them, that right there, those are the ones you really need to be applauding, Landry, because for a lot of players, it's Thursday is usually third down install day, things like that, in the regular work week. So where usually a lot of guys are finally getting back able to practice and able to go ahead and get back into the swing of things in a normal week. Not only that, you got to go ahead and you got to strap on those pads and hope that you're not playing away, because then you're traveling on Wednesday. So everything just gets sped up that week. You don't have as much preparation. You got to go ahead and get in the cold tubs a lot sooner, get a few more in before the game on Thursday night. So it definitely is just, it's an expedited process, to say the least. So definitely for the guys that bang, they're the ones who really deserve the round of applause, because they have to speed up everything, what usually takes 7 days, and put that into four.
Mm. Now, how long does it – you talk about how they have to get in cold tubs and stuff. For those running backs, which is so crucial for the Texans to have any success on Thursday night, with Davis Mills at quarterback. How long does it take? Would you expect them to be the same player even from just even this early in the season?
I would hope that they can go ahead and bounce back pretty quickly because this will be week three. So it was just, what, I believe 11 days ago when the season opened up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And obviously it's been 4 days since they played the Cleveland Browns. But because it's early in the season, your body is still feeling kind of fresh. You're still able to go ahead and jump out of bed. You haven't reached those dog days of the season yet when you start to get to mid-October, on to November, and to Thanksgiving, things like that. Hopefully that's the case, but it's very difficult for a lot of those guys, especially once you start getting up there year 7, year 8, year 9, year 10, things like that. It takes it that much longer for you to go ahead and get your body recovered, ready to go ahead and have another 12-round boxing match again. So hopefully with it being early in the season, that might also go ahead and help pay dividends as far as being able to go ahead for this quick turnaround for the Texans.
Stan the man, we always appreciate you. Doing a good job, by the way, with the commentary on the college games. Doing
yeah,
a
good job, man.
I appreciate that, J-Lo. Landry, you sound a little surprised by that.
No, I'm not surprised. I know the style's on point, too. I've seen you on the gram, man. You are bringing the kicks.
Landry.
You know they don't see your feet when you're on TV, right?
No, I don't, but that's why I make sure to take a picture because y'all going to get this drip one way or the other.
One way or the other. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye, okay? Bye-bye. By the way,
y'all be
3-0 for the Raiders good, man. This week, right? 3-0, right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah, there you go, Lance. And Lance, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing.
No, I got you. No, you're there. You're there.
Perfect. You better put some respect on that black and silver name.
There you go.
There you go. Stanford Brow. Proud
all right.
Leader.
You guys be good, man. I'll talk to y'all next week.
All right there. Stanford Brow joins us every Wednesday here on Sports Radio 610. It is National Suicide Prevention Month, and we're doing something really cool here at Sports Radio 610. Some special programming of I'm Listening, which is a 2-hour show featuring some of the biggest names in music and sports. Seth Payne, Cecil Shorts. They're going to be a part of it. They're going to talk about their personal experiences with mental health. That's going to be this Friday at 8 o'clock right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And please, please, please remember, this is 100% true. You are not alone. For more info, go to imlistening.org.
Imlistening.org. We all know we maybe experience ourselves or we have experienced that mental trauma, that mental anxiety, whatever it may be. Just listen. I guarantee you it's going to be well worth your while.
That is this Friday at 8. A quarterback who David Culley is familiar with once back in the NFL. Should the Texans kick the tires? Plus, John McClain, he joins us tomorrow. He's got some work to do. You better get the first Houston Texan in the Hall of Fame, and you better do it on the first ballot next.
Hang on. Before we talk about the Texans, I've been sitting here thinking about something.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.